now, our last moments in this segment here on Morning Cannolis, as we begin to conclude our discussion, our presentation of the content of what we know about the affidavit in support of the Mar-a-Lago search in early August. Right before the break, I was talking about this very appropriate procedure, again, described right in the context, right in the text of the memorandum itself, this affidavit, setting up this review process, this privilege review team. This should be a source of great comfort and great satisfaction, if you will, to all Americans who may not previously know about this process. Anytime a search warrant is executed, especially at a place of a personal residence, especially at a place where there can, in fact, be privileged attorney-client materials. What happens? Those documents go back to a privilege review team. These are people, again, inside the government, but they're not involved in the investigation itself. They've got no involvement up to that point. They will have no involvement down the road in the investigation itself, charging decisions, other things. They are charged simply with looking through all of the materials, which in this case is going to be huge, and determining whether anything in those documents is in the nature of private, privileged, protected communications between, in this case, the former president and his counsel about things that he can and should and is legally entitled to talk with his attorneys about. That review will take place. A number of different remedies. In fact, if you do disclose, identify those materials, they can be returned. They can be presented to a judge for an in-camera review. The ultimate point behind all that is none of that can be, should be, will you be used in the further investigation of this case. A privilege review team already put in place in the affidavit itself. And so in connection with that and moving forward, the Department of Justice, as I indicated previously, also attaches to this affidavit a memorandum in which it explains exactly the reasons why it has redacted the document in the way it has. Again, supporting this notion that probable cause is there. It is in virtually half of the document. But nonetheless, if it's released today, it would compromise the investigation. And sure enough, the Department of Justice says one of the concerns is that disclosure of the affidavit, quoting again right from the content of that supplemental memorandum, would likely result in witnesses being quickly and broadly identified over social media and other communication channels, which could lead to them being harassed and intimidated. The Department of Justice goes on to note this court, the one issuing the search warrant, gave great weight to the significant likelihood that unsealing the affidavit would harm legitimate privacy interests, with disclosures potentially serving to impede the ongoing investigation through obstruction of justice and witness intimidation or retaliation. These great concerns, once again, about obstruction of justice and about the possibility that even in the wake of this, there could be attempts to intimidate witnesses, to coerce testimony in one way or another, to affect the course of justice in a way that we've spent a lot of time this morning talking about obstructive behaviors. Interestingly, on one of the paragraphs in this affidavit, the Department of Justice goes on to say this: the court cited in its prior finding of probable cause that a statute prohibiting obstruction of justice has been violated and further relied upon the post-search increase in specific threats of violence to identified FBI agents, overall threats to FBI personnel, and the armed attack on the FBI office in Cincinnati. All of those things related to reasons why the more specific, the more extensive disclosures cannot and should be made. The summary of all this is on page 4 of this memorandum. The Department of Justice says this: the government has carefully reviewed the affidavit, identified 5 categories of information that must remain under seal to protect the safety of multiple civilian witnesses whose information was included throughout the affidavit and contributed to the finding of probable cause, as well as the integrity of the ongoing investigation. And they attach a chart that describes specifically the kinds of things that are being redacted here, and they identify these categories as these: 1, information from a broad range of civilian witnesses who may be subject to witness intimidation or retaliation. Again, a very great concern here as this goes forward. Number two, information regarding investigative avenues and techniques that could provide a roadmap, this roadmap concept, for potential ways to obstruct the investigation. Number three, information whose disclosure is prohibited under grand jury secrecy, a thing called Rule 6C of the Federal Rules of Criminal Procedure. Number four, information whose disclosure would risk the safety of law enforcement personnel. Again, as we just heard in this other portion of the memorandum itself, and then information that would harm legitimate privacy interests of people of third parties also involved in this. Again, justification for doing all of this with respect to the legitimacy of the future investigation and especially safety and security of the people who are a part of this process going forward. That's a very brief, if you will, summary of what the affidavit, as far as we know, as what it says. What is the reason why this is important? I promised during the course of our time today that I would spend some time at the end of our discussion this morning talking about the reasons why both of these documents are important. Well, you plainly have figured it out. We've got these continuing references to obstruction of justice, both in the memorandum released by the Department of Justice this past year. This focus on getting obstruction understood, number one, but number two, the notion that obstruction of justice underlies it can undermine rule of law. It can undermine legitimate investigations. And we see again as late as yesterday that one of the concerns of the FBI in connection with the retention, the maintenance of these documents at Mar-a-Lago is that there may have been obstruction even in that. We don't know what that's about. There's virtually nothing in the affidavit to describe that as it has been disclosed, but that is a key portion of the government's focus. It was a key portion of Bob Mueller's investigation, findings that, in fact, the president had engaged in obstructive behavior, even though he's never charged, never impeached for that. And once again, we've got this concern by the Department of Justice about obstruction, even in connection with these documents at Mar-a-Lago. Second, the importance of speaking truth to power. We talked about that in connection with the Office of Legal Counsel. It has this responsibility, should have this responsibility, of describing honestly and candidly what it is that the facts show, what the law is all about. A document that, once again, even though we do not have half of it, plainly in its meticulous description of what we do have, in the categories of things that are described, we've got a lot of information here. Why? Because it's important for power, in this case, the magistrate judge, to have a full and complete understanding of the law and the facts. And both of those are unmistakably described here, even though we do not have in great detail the specific findings of probable cause here. This is a fundamental notion of how government works and should work. Internal to the Department of Justice, the Office of Legal Counsel should be that straight shooter, should be that entity that describes to any attorney general honestly and in a candid manner, the good, the bad, the indifferent, everything in between. And we plainly know now this past week that at least with respect to the Mueller report, that did not happen in a prior administration. We also know now that in connection with the FBI, like any agency, not perfect. No entity in America is, government or extra government. No entity perfect, but nonetheless, a meticulous attempt over many months to try to retain these documents, to recover them, to work with counsel, and ultimately getting this affidavit based upon a huge amount, probably 15, maybe 16, 17 pages of described testimony from individuals, presumably there on site, were able to establish probable cause for the presence of these classified documents that may, in fact, be in violation. Their very presence there, their retention, maybe their destruction, maybe their obstruction in some way, could be in violation of federal law. Speaking, again, truth to power, in this case, a federal magistrate judge who has got the very important obligation to determine whether or not probable cause exists. The notion, once again, that in the wake of this, the investigation goes forward. And the significance in all of this, of having the right people in the right places to do this kind of work, yes, FBI agents, yes, assistant U.S. attorneys, yes, people from NARA at the National Archives who come forward initially and say, we think we've got a problem here, all these kinds of things. Why? Because ultimately, government is people. We talk a lot about the structures of government, the FBI, the Office of Legal Counsel, the Department of Justice, the Office of the Attorney General, U.S. attorneys, offices of U.S. attorneys nationwide. Ultimately, those are structures, and they are how the government is formulated and works. Ultimately, however, as you all know, government is really about people. It's about the people who inhabit those all-important positions. Where do they come from ultimately? Well, many of them are appointed. And where do those appointments come from? They come from elected officers. You get attorneys general. You get all sorts of other people from presidents who appoint a director of the FBI. The director of the FBI hires special agents. Federal district court judge identify magistrate judges who make these determinations. It all comes from voting. It all comes from Americans involved in their government to ensure that the people at these highest levels are the kinds of folks who should be there pursuing the rule of law day in and day out. We're going to continue this discussion next week, as I indicate, a special guest coming in planned for today, but instead going to be coming in next week, Don Brown, former alderman here in Waukesha. I'm going to come in and talk about the importance of government and the role that he played in ensuring that the right people in the right place at the right time. Don Brown, plainly one of those folks, chatting with us about the rule of law in America, law, government, the aspiration for justice, the way that works. Join us again next week, 9 to 10, 9 to 11, here on the Shaw in downtown Waukesha, 540 AM, 101 FM. Thank you so much for engaging with me this morning. We'll talk with you again, be with you again next week. Be safe. Take care.